Thanks for coming this afternoon. Heidi and I are going to explain a process that's developed in northern Minnesota. We're part of a large healthcare and growing healthcare system in primarily rural communities. We're going to talk about the community care team, which is developing as a pilot in one community. And we have no, we don't have anything to disclose that we want to disclose. How's that? Let's do this presentation. Our learning objectives are that you understand the key components of the process of creating a successful community care team. They're particularly challenging in rural communities, and the distance in this particular community is one of their major challenges. We're going to talk about how the evaluation has been conducted at this point and what we're hoping to do in the future as part of the evaluation using social network analysis and iPads to collect patient outcomes.
So the program that we're working with is based out of Ely, Minnesota, and you can see on the map here we're pretty remote. We are 4 hours north of St. Paul, Minneapolis, and 2 hours north of Duluth. Our service area includes 5 small rural communities and their surrounding townships. Of note is that a number of the organizations that we work with, their headquarters are 50 to 100 miles from our communities. And our area is really known for being rich in natural resources. We're one of the entry points to the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness, so quite beautiful, rich in natural resources, but not so much in other resources. So I thought I'd start by just talking a little bit about our community care team. We have I was hired to develop this team exactly 2 years ago, and so we've been really functioning as a team for about 18 months now. The premise behind the community care team is that there's no wrong door to people having their health and wellness needs met. So if someone walks into my facility and I am prepared to take a look at what might be going on with them besides what they came to see me for today, and I'm ready to help them connect to what other services they might need. And so the idea being that the community care team, our mission is that we provide collaborative care and support to help you achieve your wellness goals. And they really wanted to center, the professionals in the group wanted to center on that, help you achieve your health and wellness goals, because it doesn't matter what I think you should be working on. If you don't want to work on that, we're not going there, because that's not really how we're going to make changes in somebody's wellness. So we're really patient-centered in that regards. These are the organizations that are currently participating pretty actively. Nearly all of them attend at least every 3 months, if not more frequently, our meetings. So we have the physical health covered by our hospital and clinic and nursing home, mental health by our community mental health center, as well as the Center for Rural Mental Health Studies. That's out of UMD. And they provide telemed to remote regions that are underserved for mental health services. And the Northern Lights Clubhouse, if you're familiar with the mental health clubhouse model, has been we've helped develop that as part of the community care team because mental health is so underserved in our area. We have the schools, two school districts, 3 schools in 3 different communities, and as well as our community college and Head Start are part of the team as well. And then social services, our county health and human services, and then a nice array of nonprofits ranging from youth to elderly service organizations. And then at the bottom, you'll notice we have consumers and family partners as part of our team as well. They've been important from the beginning. At each monthly meeting, we do a variety of things. One of the first things we focused on was networking, getting to know each other's services. You would be surprised in a town of 4,000 people where we run into each other all the time in a variety of settings, how little we knew about what is it you do. At the first meeting, it was almost taken over by, I had no idea you did that. And how can I get the people I work with into your services? So we use a lot of our time to make sure we know exactly what each other's doing and how to connect to those services and make sure and to really increase those warm handoffs between services. We also learn about additional services beyond the CCT. For example, right now we're reiterating how to connect people to fuel assistance, very important in our area. We do case management, just from time to time, if somebody has a complex case they're working on. I'm considered sort of the super user of the community care team. I really intimately know and work closely with all the agencies. But you wouldn't believe when we bring before the team an individual case. For example, a young woman with Prader-Willi syndrome had experienced a psychotic episode about a year ago. And despite having a team to wrap around her, we just weren't helping her be successful. We weren't making the strides forward that we wanted to with her. So we had permission to bring her case before the whole community care team. So disciplines that it was like, how helpful is this going to be? We came up with a much broader care plan for her, including the school stepped forward and said, you know, when she was in school, she loved getting to volunteer in the with the preschool, and we would allow her to do that again. So just a variety of resources that we never would have dreamed because we brought it to the community care team to help people be well. The tools for and systems for collaboration are another area of focus. This really doesn't do much for you as a slide, but I wanted to include it because it's been so helpful to us. This is our shared release of information. It allows one of the folks we're working with to sign off on as many or as few organizations as they want to be able to talk to each other, to even acknowledge you and I are working with the same person, which is often a barrier to us being able to help somebody achieve their wellness goals. So this allows them to name a bunch of agencies that can collaborate on their behalf, and it's been very, very helpful in our process. We also problem solve specific concerns, sometimes between two organizations. The Center for UMD for Rural Mental Health Studies, they operate out of the clinic through telemed, but they really wanted to have PHQ-9s before every visit. And the clinics was in the position to make that happen. Oh, measure for depression, a depression measure before they saw somebody for their depression that day. And so they'd wanted it for a long time, and it had never happened. Through the community care team, we were able to figure out how to make that happen. And it really wasn't a big deal, but the big deal was having somebody spend the time to figure out that little system. And then we aren't doing any collaboration on primary prevention, but easily to see how in a bigger community that in Hennepin County Medical Center down in Minneapolis, that was the entire focus of their community care team in our pilot from the state, diabetes care in ethnic communities. So there's also that possibility down the road for us as well. So our care coordination continuum starts out with some folks really just need us to have their eyes open so they need something besides what they came to us before for today, and to give them a phone number. And some people, that's really all they need. But a lot of people need more than that. And so above that, we're ready to do a warm handoff. Either walk them over and introduce them, make the phone call, make that first appointment for them. Really make sure they get connected to whomever they need. Or we call a lot, sometimes with one of the youth mental health providers, I'll get permission to call her, and then she'll call the family to schedule the first home visit. But some folks need even more than that. They need address barriers. So identify what's going to prevent you from getting to that first appointment. What's going to make it hard for this to happen? And then figuring out how do we address transportation to appointments that are 50 to 100 miles away? How do we find a provider? Can we get telemed in there? What can we do to address some of those barriers? The scheduling, the timing, the fact that our mental health center says, if we call twice and you don't answer, we're not calling again. How do we address some of those barriers when people have complex lives? And then above that, some folks just need a full wraparound care coordination, somebody to be their point person. And this is an area where the community care team identified we didn't have enough in our community. And so we've really expanded that service through the community care team. And this is kind of what that looks like at our model with the patient at the center. Pretty self-explanatory, but I think the big piece that sometimes gets overlooked, especially in a medical model I'm embedded in the clinic, is that wraparound of the psychosocial services, that those nonprofits and those community organizations really pull it all together for some individuals where nothing else was really working for them. And so sometimes the connection to one or two medical or mental health professionals is only the tip of the iceberg, and if we can wrap all the rest of that around the individual, that's where they start to achieve success. This is our clinic's internal model. We have RN care coordinators. I'm a community health worker as well as the care team leader, and we hope to have a behavioral health specialist added to our team as the interface between the clinic and the care team soon. And I just wanted to mention the community health worker role within our project. So many of our patients or the individuals we're working with, it wasn't the medical piece that was keeping them from being well. It's the psychosocial piece. And so that's where the community health worker role got added. We have myself at our clinic now. We're looking at whether or not we need to start expanding that role. We've also trained a community health worker in one of the nonprofits in our community. She's nearly done with her training. And I think there's room for one in almost all of our larger organizations before we can address all the needs in our community. And then Pat's going to talk about our evaluation process.
So 2 years ago when Heidi started on this project, I had just been hired at Essentia Institute for Rural Health in Duluth, Minnesota, had not lived in Minnesota before, had never been to Ely, and my background is in social work, particularly in behavioral health issues. Someone said, we have this project and we don't know exactly what to do with it because it didn't fit into the already existing model for care coordination using RNs as the care coordinator. It was in a very rural community and they had not been successful in care management, let alone a care coordination team in a rural community. So I said, sure, and it gave me an opportunity to go up to Ely on a regular basis, and it's an absolutely beautiful place. But if you need health care in a rapid, especially in terms of behavioral health issues, rapidly, it's not going to happen there, which influences decisions about outcomes, what outcomes a person prefers and what outcomes they're willing to seek. So the evaluation has developed with all the partners engaged at whatever level they wish to be engaged, except that Heidi has to be engaged a lot. And we just had a grant funded that pays her part of her salary to help with the evaluation component. We're using community-based participatory research principles. We've been developing methods for data collection. We're using social network analysis to measure change over time in the partnership and developing the outcome measurements for outcomes for participants, both children and adults. And I wonder if someone here has used social network analysis. So maybe we could have a bit of a consultation about that in terms of how to think about using social network analysis in a community where everyone knows each other and works together. Just to give you a sense about the project itself and what we're trying to look at. So it's easy to measure whether or not activities that were intended occurred. It's easy to look at outcomes. For instance, did they actually achieve that shared release of information? I'm working with another community. I've been working on that project for 5 years, and we still have not achieved a shared release of information. In that situation, we have to get approval not only through a state mental health system, which you all managed to get, which is amazing, but through Indian Health Service, and I don't know if we'll ever get it. It'll be an interesting challenge. So they really have accomplished some amazing things just that are just processed but really improve the outcomes or have the potential to improve outcomes. So the short-term outcomes we looked at are patient outcomes, and we want to look at organizational satisfaction, and that's where our social network analysis and needs assessment come in. We looked at, was there a change in use of ER and hospitalization, and there's been some complications with data sharing in that particular arena. And with small numbers, it's not as useful anyway as more in-depth information about individuals.
The Essentia system that we're part of owns a lot of hospitals as well as clinics, but in our community, as small as it is, the hospital and the clinic are in the same physical space but are entirely separate entities. So that's where that complication comes in.
So with social network analysis, we have asked organizations not only what their needs are, but what are their relationship with other organizations. So one of the questions was, describe your relationship with other organizations. As an example of how we were able to provide information back to organizations to be helpful for them. This bar chart, which is not as useful for evaluation, is more useful for the organizations. We could tell them who answered, I have a relationship with Essentia Health, Ely Clinic, and I'd like to strengthen it. Heidi can pick up that list and call someone on the list and say, can we have lunch and talk over what we could do to strengthen our relationship? So it has a practical application as well as an evaluation application. More useful for the evaluation is looking at the relationship across organizations. You can look at how the relationship between us, is it reciprocal? Does one person say, I have a relationship with you, and you say the same thing? So if you'll look at the dark, thick lines, those are the ones where both partners said they had a relationship with the other person. You'll see there's not many of those, but sometimes there's a reason why an organization would not have a relationship with someone else. In spite of that fact, this is a very dense network. On a range of 1 to 100 in terms of a rating, they rate about 0.91. So it's that's really the number of connections that could exist and the ones that actually exist. So it's a very dense relationship. And here's an example of why two organizations in a small community might not have a reason to have a relationship with another organization.
So, for example, our community college and our nursing home, it's logical that they don't have many shared clients that they work with, and so it made sense to us that they didn't have a strong professional connection there.
So getting to the issue about in a small community, if I say that you and I don't have a relationship and you say, oh my goodness, we do, what are you talking about? They know each other. So when I present this map back to them, it has the organizational names on it. Before we did that, we sat down and talked with the organizations that were interested in talking with us about it and talked through how they felt about, showed them what their data said and how do you feel about someone else in the organization looking at your data. No one said don't show that data to anyone else. They all said it was useful information. We'll see over time what happens. We've just administered the second survey, and this is the second year. So we'll be doing that analysis over the next 2 months. It'll be real curious to see what happens as a result of that, because then we'll show change over time in those relationships.
This data was administered in early July of 2012. So this is our collection very soon after forming the CCT.
And this is just an example from, we used Ely Clinic, not because it's the most important organization, but Ely Clinic is the motivator for the community care team. They pay Heidi's salary, and she is the staff person for the community care team. So it makes sense that she would have a relationship with every organization. So therefore, we thought it was less possibly embarrassing or insulting to someone. The patient reported outcomes, we have started using iPads for data collection. We have set them up so that the person gets the computer, clicks on a SurveyMonkey link, their data goes to a SurveyMonkey site that's protected. We hope that's okay. Our organization does not support the use of iPads or iPhones for anything, let alone this. We sort of snuck it under the wire of being forbidden to use them. So this is a pilot it doesn't make any sense at all not to use them. How's that? And we've now identified a family history study that we're going to use these, have families fill out an electronic family history using the same process. We're using standardized instruments, the SF-36, which is a measure of well-being, and the PACIC is a measure of satisfaction with care coordination. We've not administered that yet because we needed 6 months in to administer that. Where we've been stopped is with kids. We sat down and talked with some of the kids in the high school last spring. We've not come up with a measure that would be a standardized measure that we could measure wellness and change with kids. Such diversity, all behavioral health reasons that they've come into the community care project, and we haven't solved that dilemma yet. So, our lessons learned?
So, we've determined that a rural community structure for a community care team is probably going to look very different than it would within a more urban setting or even just a larger community setting. So, our structure was based on the location of the hospital and clinic and what they consider the service area to be. But really, logically, each of our, we really have three communities within our context. And it's been, we're almost developing now at this stage three mini CCTs. And so we've looked at, if we were in an urban area, it might be based on a school might be the hub and where that could be. It might be based on an ethnic community. It might be based on a geographic community within the community. So there are lots of logical ways to break a community down, because if you had to serve an entire city, there's no way you could pull together all the service providers in the way that we do in our little town of 4,000 people. And that the funding streams for care coordination and care team staff are really limited. So we're really operating off of grants at this time, and if you use the community health worker structure, we're just going to start to get into trying to bill for diagnosis-based education for the community health worker, as well as some of the individuals I work with were able to bill. We're a certified healthcare home in the state of Minnesota, and so we're able to bill through the care coordination model for some. But really, the individuals I'm working with, The psychosocial needs really take a lot more time than the medical needs, and so we're talking at least initially hours and hours and hours of individual connections and how to make that reimbursable, possibly under the ACO model. We hope that that's going to really make sense, and we are one of the ACOs in the state, but we're still really early in that process.
And so the lesson learned about the population served is that, would you say that everybody has a behavioral health challenging, that's the overriding common issue, and that leads us to what are measurable, realistic, short, and long-term outcomes. So the people who piloted our instrument were people at the clubhouse who are people with chronic mental illness, and you can anticipate that many of them are going to just typically cycle from doing really well to not doing really well, regardless of what we do. So figuring out what's realistic from a community care team with a challenging population, set of population needs. That's going to be interesting.
When Pat mentioned the behavioral health piece, so basically we're talking about people who don't have a chronic medical disease that's preventing them from being well. So it usually shows up that if they're really struggling and not doing well, it has been a behavioral health piece that has risen to the surface as to the underlying cause. So that's all we have. We did have some funders that have helped make it possible for us. That we should recognize.
And hopefully it'll get larger.
Yes. Thank you.